She's always, I tell you all the time, my soul is anchored in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've learned to suffer because in my suffering, I gain eternal life. Oh God. Jesus. I said, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Came down through 42 generations. I heard that they didn't have no room for him at any. But I heard that Mary and Joseph, they had told them that they had to go back to their homeland. And Mary was pregnant with Jesus, going on a little camel for 90 miles. But God was standing by. Oh, he had told the wise men, where is the star? Because I'm going to go and worship you. I know you, man. I'm going to worship him. But God knew what he was going to do. God told the wise men to go another way. And God, all right, you can't tell it like I can tell it. Because the story was that Jesus came to set the captive free. When he was a little boy, the wise men, they came down, fell down at his feet, gave him gifts. I said, gave him gifts. Ain't God all right? God all right? You don't hear what I said. Ain't God all right? Shake somebody's hand and say, Lord, I'm glad that I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Ain't God all right? Shake somebody's hand and say, Lord, I got eternal life now. And I'm glad about it. Ain't you all right? No wrong, but he was meek and he was humble and he didn't say a humble word. And God, all right, had that cross up a hill. They stretched him wide, they stretched him wide, put nails in his feet, nails in his hands, put a crown of thorns on his head. Blood was streaming down. But I heard that wasn't the end of the story. The people around the cross telling him, say, won't you come down? You'll make a good impact on the people. But he never said a mumbling word. They beat him all night. All night. They beat him. 39 stripes on his back. But he never said a mumbling word. I got to give him some praise up in here on this Thanksgiving night. Because Jesus is my author. I said, ain't y'all right? I don't know what you, but I'm telling you, y'all right? Because he suffered in my place. Romans 5 and verse 6 says, why he was in him, he died for the ungodly. I heard him say that you can't take my life, but I lay it down and I pick it back up. I'm going to pick it back up. The stone which the builders rejected will become the head of the corner. Ain't y'all out of you, hold on just a little while longer. The stone which the builders rejected will become the head of the corner. Ain't y'all out
of you? Any good? Any good? Any good?
I don't know about you, but I've learned to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I don't know about you, but if I keep my hands in God's unchanging hand, everything will be all right. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to help somebody up in here on this thing.
Thanksgiving drive to tell them to hold on just a little while longer.
We hope that you were inspired, encouraged, and led to a deeper walk with God with host pastor Reverend Eugene Stevenson. New Jerusalem is located at 708 University Street in Alexandria. Service times are Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday Bible study is at 5 p.m. New Beulah Baptist Church is located at 908 Carlos Street in Boyce, Louisiana, and service times are every second and fourth Sunday at 8:15 a.m. Until the next time, may God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Psalms 160, verses 5 through 9. Now, recorded are these words. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. And the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I want to speak from the subject this morning, trusting God is giving God thanksgiving. Trusting God is giving God thanksgiving. One of the things that I have found in my feeble studies of the book of Psalms is the fact that the writers, and they are multiple, have somehow dealt extensively with the issue of trusting God. Right. Trusting God not in a temporary sense, but trusting God in a total sense. Right. There are instances and situations in Scripture, in Psalms, where they give God praise and they give God thanksgiving as a reflection upon their own hearts' experiences with God, where God, out of one thing or another, led them from bondage to captivity, led them out of defeat to victory, led them out of valleys to mountaintops. But their praise and their thanksgiving was based out of a temporary trust. A whole lot of us will trust God when it's comfortable to trust him, when it's convenient for us to trust him. But I've discovered it's really at those times that you don't really need to trust him, because you have already seen what the end's gonna be. The time to truly trust God, as God would desire that you trust him always, but if you're going to truly put trust to work, trust must be put to work when all hope seems to be gone. Trust works like light in darkness. Trust works better when everything else fails. Light works better in darkness. And so if you're going to let your light shine, yes, it's good to let it shine in the daytime, but the best time to let it shine is at nighttime, when you don't have supporting light or illuminating light around your light. See, it's all right even if we turn off all the lights in the building today. We still have enough light for you to see me to see you, and us to function like talking about, because we have what's called supportive light, meaning the S-U-N sun is shining. And it's all right in the daytime to let these lights shine, But then the hours will keep on ticking, and the S-U-N sun will move from our observance, and there will come a lesser light called the moon, and these lights will show up better and brighter when the lesser supporting light comes into view, meaning when it gets dark. And how many of you will know that you walk around your house most days and don't have to turn on the lights until it gets dark? Some of us, I've had the experience of going, God's blessed us, and we have housing and lighting, windows and all, where we don't even have to burn these kind of lights during the day. But God wants us to know that so many of us like the day when things are well, we don't trust Him. And strangely enough, when things get bad, we very seldom trust Him. I found out that trust should be a continual participatory celebration of what you believe in God. So I found out if you trust Him when it's good, and if you just keep on trusting Him when it gets bad, your trust will be right intact. I want you to see something here, because David is talking about some other things that I want to bring into play. He says, first of all, gracious is the Lord. Now, all of the things that he's going to say about the Lord, he is speaking experientially. And I think it is so wonderful, my brothers and sisters, when you can talk about the goodness of the Lord, but based upon your own experience. Because I don't care how many other folk get up and talk about how good he is and what he's done, it's not going to impact you until you have had an experience where you know for yourself, God's been good to me. So look at what David says. He says, gracious is the Lord. Now, he starts off by talking about graciousness because he has seen God give him liberty and give to him freedom in some areas in life where he, if God had not been gracious, he would not be experiencing not only life, but the level of life that God has allowed him to live on. See, how many of you know that God can let you live, but he don't have to let you live on a high plane? See, his grace will let you live. He'll give you another day, but he don't have to make it all well in the day that he gives you. So when he talks about gracious, it goes beyond the word grace, and it talks about a continual action of showing another level and a greater degree of graciousness. Gracious is the Lord. Now look at what he says. And righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Now, he starts off verse 1 by saying he's gracious. He ends up by saying he's merciful, but in the middle, he don't want you to forget he's righteous. Now, that's one of the reasons why, listen, that you've got to see the only reason why we get his grace and his mercy is because he's righteous. And he does not deal with us according to our own shortcomings. How many of y'all will be witnesses to that? How many of you will be honest and say, Brother Pastor, the Lord has not given me what I deserved? Lord, when y'all wake up here. Because hath the Lord given you what you deserve death, hell, and total damnation. But he looked beyond your faults and is still me. So he hadn't given you what you. Next time you hear somebody say, I ain't got what I deserve, you say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because if we had received what we deserved, we would not be in this place today. But his righteousness, Jesus Christ, is the righteousness of God. His righteousness came and provided a way for us to enter back into fellowship with God and to be in the presence of God and to experience the knowledge and the peace of God because he is righteous. Now I want you to see something else. Bible says the Lord preserveth the simple. He said, I was brought low and he helped me. Now again, I don't care whatever simple means in any terms and definitions, he means simple. Now there are just some things that you've got to understand mean just what they say. Look at what he said. He said, the Lord preserveth the simple. Now, if you don't believe it, just think about how many times you didn't know how you were going to make it. You didn't know how to make it. is that